Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this 27th day of April, 2024. Welcome to those that are joining us in the room, those listening on the phone, those listening to the recording, and glad to have each one of you in fellowship. Praise God for His merciful kindness. Praise Him for bringing us safely through another week to another time of rejoicing in the Lord, from whom all blessings flow, and digging into His word of truth for just such a time in which we live today. So welcome, dear ones. And our opening song is titled, Open My Eyes. Please sing along. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for Thee. Ready, my God, Thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine.
Open my ears, that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest dear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine.
Open my mouth and let me be glad one truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thou wilt to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine.
Amen. And dear ones, that's why we're here, is for the Holy Spirit to open our eyes and allow us to see and to understand what is truth. That way we can grow and increase in knowledge and in practice more and more unto that mature man, woman, or child in Christ Jesus. And once we perfectly reflect the image of our Savior, He can come and take us home. So indeed, dear Spirit, open our eyes to the truths that you have for us today. And please join with me in opening prayer. Precious Father, thank you so very much for thy love, thy compassion, thy tenderness towards each one of your erring children. We thank you for making salvation possible and for implementing this great plan that we might be saved from everlasting death to instead have everlasting life. Thank you also for giving us thy word of truth, for preserving it through all of these centuries, that we might have it as a guide to our life today. Thank you that we don't have to depend on what we're told is truth, because we can study it for ourselves. Dear Savior, thank you for voluntarily carrying out your part in this great plan of our salvation. Thank you for being the truth, for living the truth, for following the truth, and exemplifying it in your life as an example for each one of us to look to and to follow. Thank you, Father, for sending the Holy Spirit to be our convictor of what is true, to reprove and correct us in areas that we don't see or understand, for being our teacher and guide into all that is truth, and also for giving us the grace and the strength to change. Savior, I pray that you will dispel darkness in our hearts with your righteousness and truth. And dear Spirit, please open to us, thus saith the Lord, and it is written, the words from our God, because he is only the truth, without iniquity, without sin, without error, without falsehood. We want him to reign supreme in our hearts and minds. We want to be a follower of the truth because we love him for who died for us. And that sets us free. Thank you so much, dear Savior, for being our deliverer from the devil, that we don't need to remain in bondage, but we can indeed have the truth to break that spell and to have our feet on the straight, narrow, upward path that leads to eternal life. And thank you, Spirit, for making this possible in each heart. Increase our comprehension. Give us understanding from above. Let us see things as God views them. Remove from us the stumbling blocks that prevent us from comprehending and understanding and from following. And thank you for enlightening and illuminating our minds, that we might indeed see the uplifted Savior and choose to follow him and no one else. Father, I pray that you will continue to raise up more laborers and send them into thy harvest fields so that darkness may be dispelled, people may come away from Babylon and falsehood, and may choose to follow the Savior, enlisting into his kingdom away from the kingdom of darkness. And thank you that more and more people are doing so, and that we're a day closer to the ending of this great controversy, a day closer to getting off of this wicked world and going home. We need your help if we're going to escape from the deception that the devil has prepared, that might even deceive the very elect. If it wasn't for you, even the elect would be deceived. But we thank you for your word of light and truth that enables them to spot the deception, to flee from it, that they may remain connected with Jesus, following the Lamb whithersoever he leads, And we know that leads to eternal life. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer, for being in our midst. And again, thank you, dear Spirit, for being our instructor, our teacher, and our guide today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow, dear ones. The sermon title for today is Greater and Lesser Light. And a couple Sabbaths ago, we were in a discussion regarding the spirit of prophecy. And many may have been surprised by my very strong stand against the idea that some of Sister White's writings were only her human opinion and were not inspired, or that these writings had been tampered with or altered, and therefore they could not be trusted in all areas. So I thought it'd be good to show you why I believe so strongly in her writings being inspired. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID1177.htm. So lightministries.com/1177.htm. Our opening text, if you look at quote number one, our opening text is taken from Isaiah 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, this particular text that is well known to a lot of us contains four very important truths. The first truth is that the law and the testimony are combined together. They're not separated from one another. The second truth is that the law and the testimony are two parts of the same word. They do not compose two different words. The third truth is that the law and the testimony together reveal what is light and truth. And the fourth is that the law and the testimony together expose what is darkness and error. So this verse reveals to us that in order to understand what is truth and what is error, we need both the law and the testimony. It's not just the law we need in order to know what is truth and what is error, but we also need the testimony. And it's not just the testimony we need to know what is truth and what is error. We also need the law. Now, let's define what this verse is referring to. You look at quote number two. What is the law? Some believe that this refers to God's law of Ten Commandments. But is this true? In John 15:25, we read, but this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Christ is referring to this. So in this passage, we see the phrase, they hated me without a cause, is found written in their law. But where is this phrase found anywhere in the Law of Ten Commandments? It's not found there at all. But this phrase is found in the Bible in Psalms. in Psalms 35, verse 19. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. In Psalm 69, verse 4. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. In Psalms 109, verses 1 to 5. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries. But I give myself unto prayer. They have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. So all of these passages reveal that because the phrase, they hated me without a cause, is to be found in God's word and not in the Ten Commandments, then this means that the word of God is the law that Christ referred to and not the Ten Commandments. So we can then understand that the law spoken of in Isaiah 8:20 is God's entire word of the Bible. Now, if you look at quote number 3, since we know that the law represents the Bible, then what is the testimony? In Revelation 19:10, and I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So this passage reveals that the testimony spoken of here in Isaiah 8:20 is the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. So we can understand that the testimony in Isaiah 8:20 represents the spirit of prophecy. So then with these correct definitions in place, let's reread Isaiah 8:20. To the Bible and to the spirit of prophecy, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, some believe that the testimony of Jesus is just referring to the Bible and not to any other prophetic writings. But this is not correct. Isaiah 8:20 does not say to the Bible and to the Bible. It says to the Bible and to the spirit of prophecy. So then what does the spirit of prophecy mean? If you look at quote number 4. From Numbers 11, verse 25. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took of the spirit that was upon him, or Moses, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. In 1 Samuel 10, verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy. In Nehemiah 9, verse 30, yet many years didst thou forbear them, and testified against them by thy Spirit in the prophets. Yet would they not give ear. Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands. So these passages show us that the Holy Spirit will come upon an individual, and when that occurs, they will then prophesy. So the spirit of prophecy means that the Holy Spirit has inspired an individual to prophesy and speak forth the words of the Lord. Now, others believe that the prophets of the Lord ended with the death of all the apostles of Christ by the end of the first century AD. But this is not true. If you look at quote number 5, in Joel 2, verses 28 to 32. And it shall come to pass afterward, this is after Israel was no longer a nation, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. As the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So we see here a future time in which the Spirit would be poured out after Israel was no longer a nation under God. Here's another text. This is from Revelation 6, verses 12 to 17. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So these inspired verses reveal to us that after Israel would no longer be a nation, that the Holy Spirit would inspire even women to prophesy, to dream and see visions from God for the benefit of the remnant that would be called. And that this would occur after a great earthquake happened, after the sun was turned into darkness, after the moon was turned into blood, and after the stars of heaven would appear to fall. And then there would be the day when Jesus Christ would come the second time. So then the question is, have any of these miraculous events occurred yet? And the answer is yes. This great earthquake mentioned in prophecy occurred on November 1, 1755. And this earthquake was immense. It covered over 4 million square miles. It was felt in Europe. It was felt in Africa. And all the way across the ocean, it was felt in America. That was indeed a great earthquake. The sun was also turned into darkness on the day of May 19, 1780, and it was so dark at noon in the northeast of America that they had to light candles in order to see. That night, for most of it, there was no moon or stars that appeared, and it was so dark that a sheet of white paper held just a few inches away from your face could not be seen. That was miraculous. Also, the moon was turned into blood on the night of May 1970-80. Most of the night was pitch blackness, but when the moon was finally seen later that night, it looked like a ball of dark red blood. Not like red, or light red, like can be seen when there's an eclipse. Dark red blood. And the stars or meteors falling from heaven has also occurred. It occurred on the night of November 13, 1833. And the falling of these stars or meteors lasted for around 3 hours. Quite tremendous. And at one time, it was estimated that 240,000 meteors were falling all at that same instant. Can you imagine seeing 240,000 meteors lighting up the sky? So many meteors made the night sky bright enough so that you could read a newspaper. Tremendous, dear ones. No way to deny that these miraculous events occurred. The great earthquake was November 1, 1755. It's documented. People wrote about it. Encyclopedias mention it. The dark day of May 19, 1780, the moon turning into blood on that night of May 19, 1780, and the stars falling November 13, 1833. It's all documented. It's a shame they didn't have video cameras back then because we could have seen it, right? We just sort of have to imagine it now. But this does reveal to us that sometime after the last miraculous event of the stars falling, so sometime after November of 1833, God would pour the Holy Spirit out even upon a woman who would prophesy and reveal God's word of truth and his heavenly instruction to his remnant people just before the second coming of Christ. Now, if you look at quote number 6, I and many others know without a doubt that God poured his spirit out upon a young 17-year-old woman named Ellen G. Harmon, who married James White. Ellen White wrote down what God had revealed to her upon many different topics of truth over the next 70 years of her work for God. Her first vision occurred in December of 1844, and these continued throughout the rest of her lifetime until her death on July 16, 1915. And dear ones, the Holy Spirit inspired her to write a whole lot on the truth. This is from the Ellen G. White Estate website on how many books and articles did Ellen White write? It states, at the time of her death, Ellen White literary productions totaled approximately 100,000 pages, 24 books in current circulation in 1915, 2 book manuscripts ready for publication, 5,000 periodical articles in the journals of the church, more than 200 tracts and pamphlets, approximately 35,000 typewritten pages of manuscript documents and letters, 2,000 handwritten letters and diary materials comprising, when copied, another 15,000 typewritten pages. Compilations made after her death from Ellen White's writings bring the total number of books currently in print to more than 130. These extensive books and materials from the pen of Ellen White made her, quote, the most translated female nonfiction author in the history of literature, as well as the most translated American nonfiction author overall. This was from Wikipedia Online Encyclopedia under Ellen G. White, and there's the link listed. Ellen White has been translated into 140 different languages, and even the Smithsonian places her among the top 100 most significant Americans of all time. You can find that in the Smithsonian Magazine of November 17, 2014. And the article is titled, Meet the 100 Most Significant Americans of All Time. It's by T.A. Frail. There's the link. You can see it for yourself. It was accessed on the 25th of this month. But the question arises, why did God's remnant people in these last days need to have the spirit of prophecy in the first place? Isn't the Bible enough for God's people to determine what is truth and what is error? If so, then why did God also provide the spirit of prophecy specifically for this last day people? And this is what we'll be investigating into next time. And we hope to see you, dear ones. This subject is vitally important. So we hope to see you, dear ones. Our closing song is Sweet Holy Spirit. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the spirit of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this gathering place.
There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we know that we shall be revived when we shall leave this gathering place. We are all bound together through thy grace, and it's all through the Spirit of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been received when we shall leave this gathering place.
Amen. And thank you, Father, for sending your Holy Spirit for this last generation in giving the spirit of prophecy to Sister Ellen G. White. What a blessing her writings are. And thank you for also revealing to us why it was your will to do so for this last generation. Please join with me for closing prayer. Blessed Father, thank you so very much for knowing the end from the beginning and arranging things to take place according to thy perfect will for the salvation of your people, particularly the very last generation that will be on this earth. Thank you that the devil can't get anything over on you. He's a defeated foe. Your wisdom is superior. Your timing is perfect. Thank you for knowing the future and exactly what needs to occur, when it needs to occur, so that your precious people might be saved. Father, please continue to pour the Spirit out upon us. Spirit, continue to work in our lives to remove the stumbling blocks of error and preconceived ideas and opinions, that the truth might have no roadblocks, but may be clearly seen and understood. And thank you for the grace to follow. Thank you also for lifting our eyes away from self, away from others, away from the church, away from any other authority figures and pointing them directly to Jesus. And thank you, Savior, that your truth dispels darkness in our hearts and shows us that straight, narrow, upward path that you're leading us hand in hand to follow. Help us indeed follow you and not ourselves and not anyone else. Let us follow you. You are the truth. You are the Word of God. It's your testimony that the Spirit inspires holy men and women of old and even in these last days to present your word of truth to us. Please help us, out of love for you, to follow what you say, to follow what the Spirit reveals. Help us to be devoid of pride so that we don't follow the pathway of thinking we know better than what the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of truth reveals. All of our wisdom is foolishness, but your wisdom is truth. Thank you for your love and compassion and concern. Thank you for doing everything possible to seek and to save the lost. Thank you that the devil is a defeated foe. All of his falsehoods are as chaff, so that the precious wheat of truth that nourishes and strengthens us can be recognized. Help us indeed to choose your way, your truth, and thus have life. And I pray, dear Spirit, that you will take the truths that have been revealed today, plant them in our mind, write them in our hearts, that we might indeed grow in knowledge and in wisdom ever closer to that perfect man, woman, or child in Christ Jesus. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Praise God for his word of truth, dear ones. Praise him for the spirit of prophecy. It indeed reveals that we are in the very last days, just before the coming of our Savior. But dear ones, are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions that you'd like to share at this time? Some of you may not be aware of why my image on the video is a little bit grainy, and appears a little bit different than even last night. What happened, to my great surprise, is that Friday evening when I started the room or brought the room up, in preparation for the meeting to begin, my video wouldn't work. The audio was fine, but the video wouldn't work. So I figured it was just a glitch in the computer's starting up, or perhaps happened after it started up. So I shut the computer down, rebooted it, brought it back up, and there was still the problem that my video wasn't showing. So 6 o'clock came when the meeting was supposed to start, and it wasn't started, so I invited the people in the room and let them know that the video was not working, if they could please pray. There was prayer made, and all of a sudden the video was working. Praise God, right? That was a very quick answer to prayer. But I knew that something was up. This had never occurred before. It just out of the blue. The video remained strong all the way until the end of the meeting, and then it shut itself off. So we got through the meeting, right? And then it shut itself off. And so I was hoping that this morning when I opened the room for the Spanish group that it would be back on, but it wasn't. Nothing I could do was able to get the video on my computer working. So then I was left with the questions, what do I do? Do I just open the room and people can hear me talk, but they won't be able to see me? How do I get past this, right? Because it's an external camera that I hooked up. It's not part of the monitor. I have an older monitor. Anyways, so the thought came to me, grab your laptop and see if the laptop will talk and the people can see me in the room. So that's what I did. I fired up the laptop. I got into the room and the video worked, but the audio didn't work. Never had that problem in the past. The audio has always worked on the laptop. So then I said, okay, well, I can use the audio on my computer and the video on the laptop. But then I got to thinking, well, if there's lag, they're going to see my mouth moving before the audio catches up, and that's just going to distract people. So I did everything I could think of to get the audio to work on my laptop, and it wouldn't work. So I went and explained the situation to my wife, to Michelle, and I came back in the room, and I got on my knees, and I prayed for God to help get the audio working that would match the video. Got up from praying, came to my laptop, went into the settings, and something that I had already done that didn't do anything, now all of a sudden enabled it to work. So another great blessing from God. So that's why the image looks a little bit grainy, not clear like it did last week, because I'm on my laptop. And to God's glory, the problem with no video on the computer, no audio on the laptop, worked itself out, and the meeting was able to take place with you being able to see me. So then the question comes up, why all of these problems when there was no problems before? And I think it's because of this very topic today. The devil hates the spirit of prophecy. And we'll find out more next time why there is such hatred against it. So that's what occurred starting last night. And what continued to today, and praise God, we were able to make it all the way through without any further problems. To God be the glory. So needless to say, I'm going to get another external camera this week and have the problem solved so I won't have to be on the laptop. But I'm glad it was available today. Yeah, amen. Yeah, we need to keep looking up through it all, because God is able to provide a solution, even if it's a miracle. Any thoughts, comments, questions, testimonies, songs, requests, anything else that you'd like to bring forth, dear ones, please go right ahead. I find it interesting that while many Seventh-day Adventists, including the church, are downplaying the importance of the spirit of prophecy, downplaying Ellen White, you have the Smithsonian, which is a worldly institution, uplifting her, declaring that she's among the top 100 most influential Americans of all time. That kind of tells you something. But praise God for the prophecy and for fulfilling it. And that brings up this hymn. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Summer and winter, and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars, in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000s beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, especially to this last day, people. Dear ones, are there any other thoughts, comments, requests to share before we close today's service? Please go right ahead.
I have a hymn. I haven't shared this hymn for, but we are praising our Savior for who He is by God's grace. Just a minute. See the bright and morning star, Jesus, the light of the world. He has risen in our hearts, Jesus, the light of the world. Walk in the light, beautiful light, come where His love and His mercy are bright. Shine all around us, by day and by night, Jesus, the light of the world. He's the lamp that lights our way, Jesus, the light of the world. Step by step and day by day, Jesus, the light of the world. Walk in the light, beautiful light, come where His love and His mercies are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night, Jesus, the light of the world. No more darkness, no more night, Jesus, the light of the world. He will shine forever bright, Jesus, the light of the world. Walk in the light, beautiful light, come where His love and His mercies are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night, Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world.
Amen. Dear ones, last chance to bring forth your thoughts and comments before we close today's service. Amen. Thank you, dear sister, and God bless you as well.
We're going to sing. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Amen. Everyone.
Amen. Thank you so much. Dear ones, continue studying for yourself. Continue digging into God's word of inspiration. Continue following a Thus Saith the Lord, and it is written. Until we meet again, dear ones, keep looking up.
Oh, I see all these fingers sticking up here, and I'm wondering, man, what's happened? This thing place is coming to an end in a hurry today. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today.
Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking.